So Romans 8:37 to 39. Let's start with that one first. Romans 8:37 to 39. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's move on to Ephesians 3:20 to 21. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now, to him, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. I'm happy to introduce our guest speaker today, Pastor John Weens, and be missionary to Ukraine. He's accompanied by his wife, Evelyn, and our church has been supporting them in the past years. They will return to Ukraine in the first week of January. The title of today's sermon is No Limits Living by Pastor John.
Well, thank you. How delightful to be with you. I could understand everything in this service. No one was more surprised than we were that God called us to Ukraine. I'll just quickly tell you the story. In May of 2006, the day after Mother's Day, I was on an airplane flight between Vancouver and Saskatoon. I'm a farm boy at heart, and I was going to spend 2 weeks of vacation farming with my oldest brother. Sitting in a tractor all day, breakfast is at 5, work till 10. It's perfect vacation for me. Just by myself. Anyway, between Calgary and Saskatoon, I sat beside a businessman, an oilman, who was actually taking a check to a Saskatoon area farmer. He's telling me that he was thinking about doing a major highway project in Saudi Arabia. He's telling me about his many trips to Kiev, looking for probably his second wife, I think. Saying the women in Canada were just interested in making money, but the women in Kiev were interested in the arts, singing and dancing. And then he made a statement that shocked me and stuck in my soul. He said, the ratio of women to men in Ukraine, in our age group, 30 or 40 women to one man. Why? Because men had all died of alcohol poisoning. Longevity for men was 57 years ago, not very long. I think it's now up to 62. And being older than 60, I'm one of the older ones there. Well, that stuck in my soul. That was in May. I found myself talking about that anytime I had a significant conversation. In the end of July, when I was preaching, I was using that as an illustration in my sermon. When I had an aha moment, maybe God is calling us to Ukraine. Maybe you wonder sometimes what preachers think about while they're preaching. There can be something else playing back there. And that was playing in my head that morning. Maybe God's calling us to Ukraine. Well, third week in August, I finally got up courage to speak to Evelyn. She's sweet. She's not an ogre. But I thought talking about maybe moving to Ukraine would not be a favorite conversation. So I think we were in the backyard, weren't we? Talking. And I said my first few paragraphs, and she totally surprised me with her first two words of response, "Let's go." In 1 hour, the decision was made, we're moving to Ukraine. Easiest decision we ever made. So what had happened in Evelyn's life, we were both with a group of 40 people 6 months earlier doing a house and a church build in Mexico, south of Ensenada, along the Yucatan Peninsula there. And we saw what a significant impact 1 week of work made on the life of a family, on the life of a church, and probably influencing a whole village. Evelyn went back to work at Trinity Western University, office, desk job, thinking, wouldn't it be great if in the last years of our working lives and early retirement, we could go someplace in the world and make an impact. So that's what enabled her to say, let's go. And that's what enabled us in 1 hour to say, yeah, the decision's made. Went to talk to someone that we knew from MB Mission, who was acquainted with Ukraine, and says, yes, we've been praying for a church planter to move to Zaporozhye and start a church, to lead a team, and to go for 10 years. So then later, when I interviewed the leadership from NB Mission, and every once in a while I like to remind them that I interviewed them, that there are two stories going on here, yours and mine, and yeah, that's kind of fun. With four goals, to plant a church, to start a trade school for aged-out orphans. Aged-out meaning that when they finish grade 9, they need to leave and probably go to a state-run trade school and live in a state-run dormitory. Number 3, to develop recovery ministry for addicts and alcoholics. And 4, to probably develop a Canadian foundation through which to fund money for our projects. Well, goal number 1... has been reached. We have started a church. Goal number 2 has been reached. We have started a trade school. I'll tell you a little bit about that in a moment. Haven't started on goal number 3. Goal number 4 has been reached. We have a Canadian foundation through which to channel funds. And particularly for an income-generating dairy farm in Ukraine. Why a dairy farm? Well, God, 4 years ago this summer, brought a Canadian farming couple, dairy farming couple, Gary and Teresa Verhoog from south of Steinbach, with the goal of developing a model 40-cow dairy in order to show local farmers how they could produce more milk, because that's the goal of dairy farming, to make milk. And he's proven that. His cows now produce same kind of cows that the neighbors have, but his cows are producing twice as much milk as the neighbors. See, there seems to be a correlation between what and how you feed the cows and what they produce. Gary knows about dairy farming. His 5 oldest sons run an 800-cow dairy south of Steinbach, Manitoba. So I'd say he's rather successful. He put $250,000 of his own dollars to build a barn and buy equipment and buy some cows, and he's now operating this farm. And we have the goal of expanding that to 200 cows so that in future it will generate income. So we need another almost $250,000 to have another 140 cows, so we have a 200-cow dairy, and God's supplied land to produce all the food. Yeah. So we think that farm could produce in excess of $100,000 a year that will go back into our trade school. Because when we're finished in the next 4 years, we made a 10-year commitment, 6 years done, 4 years to go. At the end of the 4 years, we would like to have enough farming business, both the cows and grain, to pay for all of the dreams and all the projects that we've started. But of course, we need capital from Canada to get that going. So I'll tell you just a bit more about the dairy farm later. So, Ukraine, you can see, surrounded by Russia, Belarus, Poland, Hungary, Romania, the Black Sea. And Sochi is just about above the first O. Pardon me, below. Can you switch the PowerPoint? We had it on before. There! So, pardon me, Sochi is below the P of Zaporozhye, just east of the Black Sea. That's where the Winter Games will be shortly, and you'll know all of that geography shortly. So Ukraine, two-thirds the size of British Columbia, with 10 times the population. And we make, per person, 10 times as much money as they do. Average day wage there for many people is about $12.50. Some people working in stores make about $8 a day. Pretty basic. It's poor. Huge corruption. Zaporozhye is a city of 840,000. Manufacturing steel, aluminum, and other alloys. Very dirty town. You know, we have an easier time breathing there because we can see the air. Here you have to breathe by faith. You can't see the air. Yeah. New Hope Church. We started the church almost 4 years ago. They will have met already today because they're 10 hours ahead of us. Probably 80 to 100 people were worshiping this morning. We have a fairly young congregation. We have, without a doubt, the best worship musician in all of Zaporozhye. Very gifted, talented, huge stage presence. He has, in time past, developed a band called N-Day. N-Day, if you want to listen to his music, N-Day. great musician. Two of their six-member band are part of our congregation, and they do ministry in orphanages, in high schools, and in colleges. They tell me that last year they were in front of 10,000 youth, gave away 10,000 testaments. What an amazing ministry they have. And they have a great speaker with them who also does Christian ethics teaching in some of the schools. Jesus said that we should go and make disciples. How? By baptizing them. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. I'd like, if possible, to get baptism and conversion as close together as possible. It's not always possible because I'm not big in getting into the river in January, so we typically wait till summer when the water's a little warmer. Yeah. Vlad came to me after... I just want to check signals here. I'm finished at 11. Is okay. I need to be finished at 11. Vlad came to me Saturday night after our worship service. We started Saturday night service because we could get a church facility on a Saturday night fairly cheaply. And he said he wanted to give his life to Jesus. Well, I love that. The Holy Spirit had already done all the work. I just needed to do some coaching and say, okay, when you're ready to pray, just pray, which he did, inviting Jesus into his life. And then we had the privilege of baptizing him. You see, the scriptures say that if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you will be saved. It's not difficult. Maybe there's someone here this morning, you haven't crossed over into saying, I believe. Whenever you're ready, just open your mouth. You can even do that while I'm preaching and say, I believe in Jesus. I invite him into my life as Savior and Lord of my life. And then later, as sometimes happens, we do weddings. And here was his wedding to Margot, Vlad and Margot, in June. You see, she brought him to the church. It's called evangelistic dating. I do not recommend it at all. Pastors, you hear that? I don't recommend evangelistic dating. I'm not promoting that, but sometimes it works. And he gave his life to Jesus, and how wonderful to celebrate with them as they exchanged vows in June. This young lady's name is Anya. We got to know her through a short-term team called Trek. Anyone have heard of MB Mission's short-term teams called Trek? You can either go for 10 months or 6 months, 2 months of training first, and then either 7 months on the field or 3 months. Anyway, 2 years ago, we had a Trek team, 4 people. They met Anya in a conversational English class where they went often to school number 40. She came to the farewell party, the farewell barbecue for Trek in May, then came to our Saturday night worship service, then started coming fairly regularly to worship services, agreed to help plan the New Year's Eve all-night party at our center. I'm glad I didn't have to be there, but she was there, noticed our worship leader, and fell head over heels in love with her, with him, and he with her. I talked to him 2 weeks later. He said, "John, it was terrible. For a whole week, I couldn't do anything. All I could do was think of her." But he told her very quickly, "I really like you, but I can never marry you because you're not a believer." That's a good stance. So don't fall in love with someone who's not a believer. It's a problem. And she said to him, "I won't become a believer for you," which was equally a good response. Well, Evelyn already had a friendship with her. They had done some baking together at our apartment. Evelyn invited her to another conversation, shared the gospel using a bilingual copy of the four spiritual laws. Evelyn read in English. Anya understands English quite well, but read in Russian. See, it's always good for people to hear the gospel in their native tongue. That's one of the principles of church planting. That's why we're trying to learn Russian. It's going to take a small eternity to learn it, I think. But 3 years ago when we were at North Shore Pacific Grace Church, I had an aha moment during the worship service. I said, "Oh God, thank you for taking us to Ukraine and not to China." Because learning Chinese would be a much bigger challenge. Anyway, Evelyn and Anya talked. There came the moment when Anya understood. She said, "Now I want to pray." She prayed her own prayer, inviting Jesus into her life, and a big smile, her face glowing. Evelyn said if it had been night, they could have switched the light off, and there would have still been light in the room. Because she understood that Jesus was in her. And then she said, "If I understand correctly, there the angels are having a party right now." 3 or 4 weeks earlier, I preached on Luke 15, parable of the lost coin, sheep, and son. He's always rejoicing when something is found. 2 years ago, our youngest daughter got married in Dominican Republic, so our 3 kids, our other 2 and her fiancé, we all went to Dominican Republic, and our son couldn't find his passport. He looked 3 days in his small apartment until he found his passport. And there was a great rejoicing when he found that, because it would have been very expensive for him to get a passport, a new one, in a day or two. Yeah. And he would have had to take a different flight and all of that. Great rejoicing in heaven. So maybe we can have a party in the over tea after, right? And rejoice with Anya. So we baptized her a little over a year ago. And March 30th of this year, we did their wedding, Vanya and Anya. Yeah, he's the worship leader. She got married the day before she turned 19, first year university. Veronique was in our trade school from a neighboring village, not an orphan. I was invited into a conversation with her. She said, I have repented. I've invited Jesus into my life. I have a boyfriend who's not a believer. He's in the army. I won't see him till October. I thought, that's good. Coached her on how to start talking to him about Jesus, which she did. About 4 weeks later, invited into another conversation, she said, boyfriend's gone. I don't need him. He's just using me anyway, and I want to be a missionary. That was a nice word. Because I've been praying that God will raise up missionaries and pastors from these young people that we work with and the orphans. She's not an orphan, but she's 6 out of the 9 first-year students at the trade school were orphans. The Orthodox Church, over 80% of the people say we're Orthodox in Ukraine. Orthodox Church says anyone that's not us is a cult. And her father said, be very careful. Don't get involved with them. But I'm telling you now, I'm not forbidding you to go. I'm telling you so that later when you get out of the cult, I can tell you, I told you so. So she gave her life to Jesus, came to our place one Saturday night together with our translator, Masha. Whenever I have a significant conversation, I still use a translator. My Russian's not that great yet. She had never been to church in her life. Scared, very nervous. What will church be like? Totally loved it. Within a week or two, made a decision she would take the bus in every Sunday morning, 30 kilometers, so that she could be a part of our worship service and go to the baptism class. Her mother said, why do you need to be so fanatical? Why do you need to go every week? But she came to the baptism and loved it. We have children in our service. We dedicated this little boy to second son to Roma and Vika. His name is Bogdan. The little boy, name God's gift. I also am involved in the Association of Mennonite Churches in Ukraine. Preach in up to 7 different churches periodically. We do leadership training. They do children's camps in many different areas. And this is our children's choir at Easter time in New Hope Church. Give you a little flavor of what we look like. This was another short-term team called Action. They came for 1 month in May. This Action team came in July. One of the things they did was taught some English and did a whole week camp in an orphan camp. As far as we know, it's the first one that's been allowed where they could, our team of 7, plus a couple translators, some more volunteers. I think we had a team of 12 there. They were allowed to live at this orphanage camp and teach, preach, do crafts, play sports, sing songs. It was an amazing time. This young lady trained by Young Life, nonstop energy, nonstop ideas and activities. Great. A couple of weeks later, 5 days after they left, I went back with 2 translators and 3 volunteers, took this picture. There was hugging and open sobbing when we left. It almost tears my gut out. These kids so much long for love, and they don't get much at the orphanage. It's pretty harsh. And I'd like to adopt about 200 of them. We celebrated the 17th birthday of this orphan gal. Took a class to a birthday party for pizza. These 4 gals, there are 100,000 orphans in Ukraine. 30,000 true orphans, 70,000 social orphans. The gal on the left, social orphan. Gal on the right, our favorite gal, Katya. Dad's been in prison from just before she was born. Mom's prison for life. Mother's an alcoholic. One brother's in jail. Two brothers went to university, been in the same city, but she hasn't seen them in over 5 years. The gal next to Evelyn is a true orphan. This other gal, Rita, a social orphan. They all graduated a year ago, May. Were in a state-run trade school. Three of them still are. Rita chose to live with her boyfriend, and I was to give birth 3 weeks ago. Took them skating. These three girls were with us at Christmas time 2 years ago. Lita, the gal in the middle, 6 years old, was left at the orphanage by her mother September 1st. Didn't sign any papers, didn't leave any clothes. When Lita found out she was coming to our place for Christmas, she had one question. Do you have candy? But she liked kolbasa and yogurt as much as candy. Delightful. A Ukrainian family adopted her a year ago, September. We know about 15 families from the U.S. who have adopted one or two children from Ukraine in the last 2 years as well. Lots more stories, but we should shift gears, and I need to preach a little bit. So, you can refresh your Chinese, too, if you need to. No limits living. Two great days in every person's life. The day you were born, and the day you discover why you were born. You all know the day you were born. Celebrate your birthday. I had one not too long ago, October 7th. Could you, in one sentence, write, the purpose of my life is, the reason I am on earth is? I challenge you to do that in this next week or two. If you don't already know how to write that sentence, ask God, what is your purpose for me? You see, God has put eternity in every person's heart. We know there's more to life than just here until we quit breathing and they bury us. He has designs. He's placed destiny in your heart. If you are in Jesus Christ, we know that God chose us to be holy and blameless. That answers part of the question. God wants you to live righteously. He wants you to live for His glory. From this scripture, we understand that God created us for good works. Do you ever wake up in the morning and ask God, what good work do you have for me to do today? Do you have something planned? Maybe He has something planned. Just ask Him to nudge you, that you would know when He wants you to do some good. That's why you're on earth. If you are in Jesus Christ, to do good works every day of your life, every week of your life, every month, every year. God's promised abundance to you. I have come to give life in its abundance. He's promised to give you a rich relationship in Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Through Jesus, you are connected to a holy God. You can come right into His holy presence. Because God brought the gavel down, God the judge, and because of Jesus, because of your faith in what Jesus did on the cross, He said, you are righteous, perfect, as without sin. That's our position in Jesus Christ. Yes, in our experience, we still sin, but our position is that we are righteous. Is that rich or what? You see, all your sin in Jesus Christ has been paid for. All guilt, all fear of future punishment is gone. Shame has even been paid for. Do you know what the difference between guilt and shame is? Shame is, I did wrong. Guilt is, I am wrong. Guilt is, I did wrong. Shame is, I am wrong. You can confess wrongdoing, and get release from guilt. You can confess shame to the rest of your days and not get release. How do you get release from shame? Going back to Jesus and knowing that you are accepted totally, that you belong, that you are not flawed, that nothing that has ever happened to you or nothing that you have ever chosen to do will keep you out of this rich relationship. And if you need to talk to someone about either guilt, you see, the scriptures say, if we confess, God is faithful and righteous to forgive and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Sometimes we confess and confess and confess and don't get freedom. James 5:16 says, confess your sin to one another that you may be healed. How does that work? Well, sometimes when we can't get forgiveness deep in our soul because of something we did or something that was done to us, we need to tell a trusted friend. Make sure they're trusted, because you don't want them to run away after the conversation to say, guess what I just heard? It is good. You see, and if your friend accepts you at your worst, somehow it allows us to get connected with the truth that God can accept me at my worst. We could do a whole weekend seminar on that. That's all the time I have. But there's freedom and release. And I saw an advertisement for a boundaries class. That will help you with some of that. There's a boundaries simulcast coming this weekend, I think. Very soon, at 10th Church. Sometimes we live in a box, and we're talking about no limit living today. There is no limit to the greatness of God's love. And some of you have believed the lie of Satan that God doesn't love me. If God really loved me, he wouldn't have let Grandpa die. If God really loved me, I wouldn't have financial problems. If God really loved me, I would have lots of friends. And I'm lonely right now. Because Satan is the master whisperer. Because he knows that if you are just filled full with the love of Christ, he can't bother you much. See, Satan only knows how to lie, can't speak truth at all. Jesus is truth. So sometimes you may just need to speak out loud, I know that I am loved because the Bible says nothing can ever separate me. Satan, you can't. Death for sure can't. I can't. The bad things that have been done to me can't separate me from God's love. I am loved with an everlasting love, period. And I stand on that because it's truth. I see some smiles of recognition. I hope it's recognition. Or maybe hope that you can get there. The promise of power. You raised anyone from the dead recently? I haven't. The scriptures, Ephesians 1:18 says that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. Does that sound like living in a box? Unlimited love, unlimited power? Doesn't sound like it to me. Why do you let yourself stay in a box? You see, maybe God is speaking to you this morning, saying, let me finish that sentence. My purpose for your life is. Part of God's purpose for us was to move to Ukraine. Wow. That was a big life changer. We only knew one family by name when we went there. with the belief that God would enable us to start a church that's thriving with good leadership right now. There are four or five guys who preach quite well in the church. Out of a church of 100, that's not bad. God brought these people to us. Best worship leader in the whole city. How could we have ever planned those things? You see, my box can be like this. He's knocked the ends out of the box. There's no box. Oh, sometimes I still put God back in a box. And then limitless presence. God is with you always to the end of the age. And because of all of that, every day for the rest of your life, you can be successful as you choose to add value to people. A smile, a hug, an encouraging word. The scripture says, don't let any unwholesome word out of your mouth, but only what builds up. Very easy to put people down, right? Family I grew up in, we sort of had, it was a Christian family, but we didn't always act very Christianly. We sort of had, may the sharpest tongue win, a lot of sarcasm, a lot of put-downs in my family. Not a great way to live. Much better to live with a smile and encouragement to say, wow, you look lovely this morning. God's given you such great music ability. What a great family model that you were here this morning. Thank you for using your talents to help us enter into the presence of God and to sing praises to His name. I read a little article this morning. Jesus sings. He sang. And there are some scriptures to point to that. The first one is, after they had the Last Supper together, they sang a hymn. Can you picture Jesus maybe leading that singing? Because He was the leader. Let's pray. Oh, Jesus, forgive us when we put ourselves in a box or put You in a box. You are the limitless God, unlimited power, unlimited love, never-ending presence in our lives. Help us to discover the reason why we were born and to move into that reason and that fulfillment with all of Your power, all of Your blessing, for Your glory, we pray. In Your strong, faithful name, Jesus, the righteous one, righteous on our behalf. Amen. I should say that this has already been mentioned, but you are part of our ministry in Ukraine. You give so that we can be there. You're part of these stories. If it wasn't for you, we couldn't be there. So rejoice, get happy, celebrate. Celebrate with the angels, these new births. We could tell you many more stories, but don't have time.